Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Thursday, April 21st, 2016. It's just a few minutes short of 3 UTC. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is with us. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello. Hello, hello, hello.
So just real quick, agenda-wise, we're going to have one segment where my daughter is actually going to join us because last weekend she got elected as a Sanders delegate to the next level in the Washington State process.
Woohoo!
So this means she will have made it two levels. She was an alternate to this level, and then she'll be an actual delegate to the next level, which means she gets to go to the Congressional District Caucus and the state convention, which is higher than I've ever made it.
Okay, so she does have a shot at going to the convention still at this point?
I guess she could. And actually, one of the things we'll talk about, as we've looked into it, it's actually not a playoff. You can enter in the later rounds without ever having been in the first rounds. She won the right to vote at the state at the congressional district and state conventions for who will go to the national. Who runs to go to the national is completely independent. So people can run to go to national that have not run in any of these previous levels. You just have to fill out a form and submit it. But
I'm going to guess it helps that you're involved all the way through the process.
Yeah, it probably helps. Yes. And she can vote for it. Anyway, we'll talk to her about all that and her experiences in our first real segment after our little introduction here. Then after that, we'll go all out on, all the rest of the election 2016 stuff, the results from New York, what the next few states look like, all this kind of stuff. And then finally, we'll wrap it up with a lightning round if we get that far and Yvonne hasn't fallen asleep yet.
I'll try not to fall asleep today.
But first, before we get to any of that other stuff, Yvonne is actually in Canada this time.
I am in Canada.
In Toronto, I believe.
In Toronto, where Sam and I came, like, approximately, try to think, it was 25 years ago together, the only other time I've been to Toronto. And we didn't get arrested, because we should have, probably. Even though Sam tried to stop me from getting arrested. I mean, we decided to go see Star Trek VI.
Was it six?
It was six. Okay, The Undiscovered Country. We were going to come see it in Canada. So based on that movie, you could figure out what the hell.
Because there was supposedly a really nice theater that we had not been to, and we just wanted a road trip, basically.
Correct. Yeah. So basically, we had class, so we had to leave class, and then we had to be there by a certain time. So I took the task. I'm saying, fuck it. I can make it anywhere in whatever amount of time. I'll drive north of 100 miles an hour anywhere. It doesn't matter what car. And we'll get there on time. No problem. So that's precisely what I did. Jumped in the car, Sam's car. Okay. And, proceeded to drive as like a maniac, onto Canada. On a couple of occasions.
So by the way, if in fact it was Star Trek VI, that was 1991.
91. Okay, so I was right. It was 25 years ago. Okay, all right. So it was, okay, good. My memory works. Okay, good. So I am driving. The first cop I flew past. Okay, all right. So we were on Sam's station wagon. Okay, which had a digital speedometer.
Ford Taurus station wagon.
Ford Taurus station wagon. Okay, ugly blue. Color.
It was a wonderful blue. I loved that car.
It was a great car. Okay, car. That car really was very good. Okay. So I'm not going to argue that point. Okay, car. It really took a beating and it lasted for a long time and it did drive pretty good. Okay. So the thing is that it had the digital speedo, which meant that according to Dad, if you're going north of 85, it would just read a solid 85. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. It didn't actually show you speeds over 85, and I think I did not know this until this trip because I did not make a habit of going that fast.
I of course knew this because I've been in other vehicles with such a speedometer, and I knew this very well. Sam had no clue about this, so I am just flying just in this thing, and it's just reading 85. I'm pretty sure we must have been doing 110. Okay, all right. It had to be around that. Okay, at least. Okay. So
and by the way, if I'd known this, I would not have been okay with it.
I'm sure he wouldn't have been. So I must have been doing about it. It was north of 100. Anyway, So at some point, I'm flying through on the highway, and Sam goes all of a sudden and realizes I'm just driving and don't see this cop car on the side. And Sam says, if I remember this, I remember it vividly, don't go flying past the cop. I see the cop and I just slam the brakes. So I slam the brakes, but we're going so fast that the speedo does not drop below 85. And I just keep hitting the brakes and it just keeps like, it's just like hanging there forever over 85. Okay. And I know I passed by the cop, but it's still red over 85, okay? And as I do this, right, and the car starts slowing down, all of a sudden I see the police officer turn on his lights, okay? And I'm like, fuck, I'm going to get ticket. I'm going to get arrested, whatever the fuck, whatever, it's happening. And
now, I apologize. I was distracted here for a second. Were we already in Canada or were we still like in New York State?
No, we were still in Pennsylvania, okay? All right? We were not that far from Pittsburgh. We were still in Pennsylvania. But I see the car turn on his lights and I'm like, fuck, we're going to fucked over. The guy just got on the median, turned around and went the other way. And we did not get stopped. And I, to this day, do not know why that cop, despite the fact we flew past them that fast, chose not to stop us. Okay, all right? He just didn't care. Just kept going.
Already met the quota.
I guess so. So we just, I was like, well, after that, I was like, fuck it. Hammer to the wall again. So I just got, you know, whatever. So I kept going. And we got to Canada.
And I still
after
had no idea that you were even speeding, probably.
Oh, my God, yeah. Well,
no,
I probably knew.
But
No, you knew I was speeding. I don't think you had any idea how fast I was really going. But, yes, we were doing about 110 miles an hour about the whole way through. So we got to Canada pretty quick. But then we got over here, and the theater that we were planning to go to was just oversold, sold out, just impossible. So we wound up seeing the movie.
And did we even make it in time in the end?
We did. We got to see the movie. I mean, you know.
No, but, I meant like.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. We made it in time. That wasn't a problem. The problem was. It was sold out.
Yeah.
That was the problem. So
we ended up at some rinky-dink theater that was no better than one we could have gone to in Pittsburgh.
Exactly. But it was in Toronto, so it was cool. I mean, you know. Yeah. You know, I mean, Toronto, I mean, the town, we had a good time. We went to the CN Tower and everything. And hang out, see the sights and whatever. We got a good time and we went back home. So, I mean, it was definitely better to just go into the, you know, the theater and back in town. And, you know, I still make fun of the fact that on the way back, we stopped to pump gas and a guy at a gas station in Canada goes and asked us about where we're from and looks at the license plate, and Sam's car had Maryland license plates at the time. And the guy goes, Maryland? Never heard of it. And it's like, and we're like, where is it? Well, you know, Pennsylvania. Yeah, it's the next one south. Oh, okay. All right. So, you know, so yeah. So, you know, I know we make a lot of fun about Americans' geography. Well, apparently, the Canadians are beating us in that department.
At least that one.
At least that guy. Okay,
so,
all right.
So, okay. So, now, 25 years later, you've gone again.
Yes.
How does it compare?
Well, I haven't been much other than the hotel and the airport. But, this town's a very diverse town, okay? And it was back then. It is now. To give an example, the driver that took me to the hotel was a Palestinian, Christian Palestinian that immigrated. He told me precisely now 10 years from Palestine to Canada. He told me the story that, you know, the main reason he was looking to immigrate to Canada was because being a Christian, he was persecuted and like ostracized in society for being Christian. And he didn't feel welcome, and he got and obviously, like the, you know, he would tell me about the fact that sometimes he said he would go to bed, and because he felt like sometimes whether a bomb dropped on him or whatever, he was like scared about waking up alive. Now in the morning, he worries about whether he was going to wake up on time when his alarm clock goes off. And it's such a different worry, you know. And we talked about, you know, that's one of the things, you know, us that live and have the I don't know what to call it, was a blessing, luck,
whatever the heck you want to name it, that we live in a society, in a place where those are not the concerns that we have, and right. that he feels like very lucky that he doesn't have those concerns anymore. And that he, and you know, he talked about, it's one of the things that I've talked about Canadian society. They're very inclusive, you know, of like others from other countries and other things, and that he feels incredibly welcome and loves it here, that he just would never, you know, choose to go to live back regardless of the fact that the weather is like freaking cold as all hell. but that's made it, you know, so that was a very interesting thing. And it's one of these things about Canada, that every time that I've come here, it's just that the society is that diverse and inclusive at the same time, and welcoming at the same time. It's been always my impression of it. And America, you know, I'm not going to knock the U.S. about it, because, I mean, you know, the U.S. is far bigger country, has far more population, like almost, I think it's like about 10 times sort of the U.S. and obviously the big melting pot of people. I just think it's I think they're more laid back about it, because we just have a lot more competing agendas and competing groups of people and diverse things pulling back and forth about it. I think that's just it. It's just the bigger place.
Okay, so
where's Amy?
In her room, because I'm about to talk to her on the podcast. Oh yeah, there goes my son. Anyway, so bottom line, Toronto's a nice town. You like Canadians?
Yeah. And, oh yeah.
Did he have anything to say about well, you know, presidential race, anything like that? Did you ask him what he thinks of Trump?
Oh no. We did. I kind of think that that's an obvious answer to anybody. You know, it's like, you know, yeah, it just seemed like a moot point, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break, then we will...
Wait, we have something else?
Okay, tell me fast.
Well, the one thing is that I landed, right? Okay, so I turn on my phone.
Yes.
And my data roaming was off. Okay. And I had gone to Mexico like about a month ago, and they had included basically all the data for free. Okay. Mm-hmm. I signed up for this thing. So I figured, well, it's Canada, right? Why would it be that much different? Okay. I turn on the data roaming. Inside 15 minutes that I am in Canada, I get this notice from AT&T. It reads, courtesy notification, your international data charges exceeded $100. We can help you avoid a costly bill and possible service disruption. Please call us at so forth, so forth. A free call from this phone. International packages starting at $30 may be available depending on location.
Right.
So I'm like, fuck. I'm like, okay. So I immediately inside customs, because I haven't left. I haven't picked up my bag. And I already got a notification that my phone ran up a $100 bill. Okay. So I go and I call them up. So I ask them. I'm like, okay, what are my options? The options are just ridiculous. I don't understand why, you know, because not even all carriers have the same pricing. It's just retarded. They basically, the package I picked, okay, which is a shitty package, I paid $60, okay, to get 300 megabytes of data. 300 megabytes, that's it. And I have to pay for calls at 50 cents a minute, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, and I'm like, so basically right now, now the one thing is that my phone has Wi-Fi calling enabled. So I'm basically just using it whenever there's Wi-Fi. If there's no Wi-Fi, I'm not fucking using it.
Okay.
Simple as that at this point. That's what I'm down to right now.
Snip, snip. So anyway, yeah, the international roaming
is a ripoff.
Oh, it's absolutely outrageous.
There are no legal tax reasons, cost reasons, anything to charge those rates. It's just ridiculous.
It's just that they can get away with it. And
yes.
You know, this is why, like, I just, you know, even though in the last, like, you know, couple years, I mean, I've been out of the country once, but by default, I have that setting set to turn off international roaming. So just in case I go anywhere, I don't get fucked.
I get that, but it's just that I went to Mexico last month, and I figured it's Canada, okay? I'm not going to fucking, like, I don't know, Brazil or like France. It's fucking Canada. that. Now, here's the thing. Not all the carriers are uniform. I've got somebody that I'm here for work as well here. And Verizon, for example, just charges you $3 a day, and it just and you get, like, with your standard plan. T-Mobile charges you nothing, and you just get your standard plan. So this is just an AT&T fucking, like, fuck over. That's all it is.
Yeah, and like you said, like you said, even their, like, special plan that you can sign up for or whatever is still pretty sucky.
It's a terrible plan. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, let alone if you don't set up anything.
I mean, I'm like, this whole thing, 50 cents a minute for calling. I'm like, are you fucking joking? I figured they were going to charge me for the data. I was like, oh yeah, but you just get unlimited minutes between Canada and the US. Oh no, 50 cents a minute. I mean, ridiculous. Ridiculous. So, yeah, I was not happy today when I landed, when I saw that. I mean, I honestly was thinking about my strategy, how to fucking change carriers.
Well, you know, and that's why a lot of people just get a local SIM card when they're traveling like that.
I know. And actually, one thing that when you call that number is actually that they will unlock your phone.
Right.
Okay. To allow you to do that. Okay, they will do that. So,
okay, let's take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to have Amy.
What,
Alex?
Is it okay if there's a bit noise?
No.
Why?
Because we're recording a podcast.
This make noise on the podcast.
Yeah, no.
Make noise on the podcast.
No. Okay. We're taking a break. Back in a few minutes.
Back in a few.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620 and LiganAirRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on, baby. Let's do
the twist. Well, they got a new dance and it goes like this.
Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LiganAirRadio.com, The Valley.
There we go.
Ah!
Hello?
Hello, Amy. So, I've got Yvonne here. It's me. And now we've got my daughter, Amy, on the line. So we just wanted to go through, you got elected to be a Sanders delegate to the Congressional District Caucuses and to the state convention. And this all happened because I guess originally you were an alternate to the Legislative District Caucus.
Okay.
And so, you know, I was there for part of it, but because I was on the Clinton side and went away we split up in the middle, I wasn't there for the whole thing. So I just wanted to have you give the story of participating in Washington State's Democratic caucus system, how it all went, and what you think of the whole process as well. You can talk about both things you've been to so far, if you want. But just, you know, and why did you do it?
How apparently you have a lot more conviction about your candidate than apparently your father over here has.
Well, yeah, I was telling her on the way in, he's like, I was debating whether or not even to put my name in to go to the next level because, you know, I am not enthusiastic about Clinton at all. I mean, I don't particularly like Sanders better, but like, you know, I'm not like a big Clinton fan. I'm not going to go in there, rah, 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 go Clinton. I've always
Clinton, rah, rah, rah. No.
Going all the way back to the 90s, I've disliked both Clintons. Although, as I've said since then, they looked really awesome in comparison to George W. Bush. Yes. But you know,
I think just about anybody looked awesome compared to George Bush.
But
yes, I know we're not setting a high bar. Sorry,
but yeah. So I went in there and like my little speech. I get first of all, I had Amy do my poster for me, but it just had my name and number. For people to vote for me. It had nothing else. It's very plain. And my little 30-second speech was basically just, you know,
I'm going to keep it short. I would be a loyal Clinton vote. And I forget what else I said. Something about, I like wonkish process things like this, so vote for me, and I won't waste your time by doing anything else. And of course, everybody else gave like these impassioned speeches about why they would be a good delegate, why they loved Clinton, about their personal background and blah, blah, blah. I got two votes.
Yeah, I like that. They were like, oh yeah, I'm really excited. I'm so passionate about this. And you were like, hey, yeah, I guess I'll vote for her. I guess.
Well, I think I did a little bit.
Okay.
Well, I think I did a little.
Say, can I just say, yes, that, yes. Given that impassioned speech, I'm like even shocked he got two votes.
Well, one of them was me. So
okay. Well, you got another one.
So and I have no idea who or why that other vote was, but it might have been. Yeah, when I went back to my seat, there was a lady who was like, good for making it short, and gave me a thumbs up.
There you go. So that sounds like your second voter.
Yeah, so it might have been that. But yeah, no, I mean, I think I did a little bit better than I just did now, but not much. I mean, I wasn't really feeling, there's no equivalent to feeling the burn for Clinton.
No, there isn't.
And yeah, that would just sound weird, like.
Yes.
So I'm not. Yeah.
Feel the click.
No. Let's not. It doesn't work.
God. Anyway. No.
Anyway.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I went there. Anyway, that was planned.
Her first name's not much better.
No.
Anyway.
God.
Anyway, calm down, Yvonne. Calm down.
I
got my two votes, and there were a lot less people on the Clinton side of things. So, like, the winning candidates, I think, got like 40 or something on that side.
Yeah, I think our winning, like, the highest person on Bernie's side was 188 votes.
I think that's close. I was thinking 181, but I don't have the piece of paper in front of me. But it's close.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah. It was right around there. So anyway, I will shut up about it. You are 20 years old. This is your first presidential election. Washington's a caucus state, so we have all this weird stuff instead of just going to the poll and voting. So tell us about your experience.
So at the first caucus, it was really, I mean, there wasn't really anything to it. It was kind of just like, oh, I guess I'll be a delegate. And then people just went around and said, yeah, I'll do that. And there was no voting whatsoever. It was literally just like, I'll do it. Okay, what's your name? Okay, what's your phone number? And we were all just very, probably a little too relaxed about it. So that's all there was for the first caucus. And then the second one, I wasn't like super pumped about going to the next level. I wasn't really trying to, but I thought, why not? Because there's like, I don't know, there's not really a good reason why not to do it. I don't know what it's like, so it'd be a learning experience either way. Mm-hmm. And so I did that. I decided to sign up, and there were 83 people in total trying to move on to the next level from the Sanders side. And they were not expecting that. So like even the tally sheets only went up to 60, and you could actually only write names up to like 25 or 30. So for like everybody who is over 60, they just had to like write the numbers somewhere on the page and then make it obvious that that's the person they wanted. And when it got down to it, I was mostly encouraged by the delegates that were at the table, like this one woman who got very excited and made me a little sign and followed me around the room. And then when it got time to actually do like the speech part, I didn't know it was happening.
So wait, I want to back up just a little bit, because there was a little bit of drama before you even got to that point.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. You can tell it.
Yeah. So we had our precinct, and I was the second alternate for our precinct, and one of our delegates didn't show up, so our first alternate was used, and then there was me and then another alternate there. And this other precinct, there was a flag for it at our table. It said Stitch. It had a little two with a circle around it, and then there was a sign-in sheet for it that we didn't look very hard at because there was nobody from Stitch there. And there was this new interpretation of a rule that they talked about a couple days before and at the caucus that day that basically said if you had extra alternates from one precinct, but you didn't have enough people in another, that you could move over and be in that one. So this other alternate and I were thinking, rockin', we'll be in Stitch. Now we both get to be delegates and have a vote. And so we're sitting there thinking everything's fine. And the dude running the whole thing told everybody who was an alternate and didn't have somewhere to go to walk around and find a place to go. So that went on for like 15, 20 minutes. People were just walking around trying to find a place to go. And then at the very end, the guy running the thing said, oh, by the way, if anybody didn't show up for the caucus, the last caucus, this time they don't get to vote at all. So no, they actually don't count whatsoever. And so we were surprised to hear that we actually couldn't do anything. We couldn't be delegates for Stitch because they hadn't shown up for the last caucus.
Yeah. So the rule was basically like if a precinct had elected people, had elected Clinton or Sanders delegates to the next level and they didn't show up, then someone from another precinct could fill that spot. But in this particular case, for this precinct of Stitch, nobody had showed up the first time around, or at least nobody was willing to be a delegate the first time around. So there were no delegates elected from Stitch at all. And so apparently you couldn't, if somebody had been elected and didn't show up, you could fill their space. But if nobody had been elected in the first place, you could not fill that space.
You couldn't be an alternate for somebody that wasn't elected, I guess.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
But they
didn't really make that clear.
Yeah. And I mean, if we'd been more on the ball, we could have asked for that detail beforehand, but it certainly sounded like, hey, there's an empty slot. They say you can fill empty slots if there's nobody there. Why not? So
yeah,
anyway.
And our table, you know, there was even a sign that said Stitch and it had a 2 on it. So think like logically, if this place wasn't supposed to have any delegates whatsoever even show up to this caucus, you'd think, well, then they wouldn't have a sign because they don't have any delegates. So I went up and I wanted to talk to the dude running the whole thing. And within a couple seconds, I started getting a little frustrated because he wasn't really providing me with answers. He was just like, yeah, that did happen. I don't know what to do about it. And just kept repeating to me that I couldn't do anything about it and I couldn't be a delegate at any point. And then he threatened to try to remove me from the whole caucus. He said, do we have to get you removed? But before that, he made sure to explain to me that the reason the sign was still there and that all the information was still there was because he was tired. He printed out all of the signs the night before from an Excel sheet. He took it from Excel and put it in, he just dragged it into Word, right? He printed them all out and he was just too tired to take out the 9 precincts that didn't have delegates. So I was really mad because he just like chose not to do it because he was too sleepy, because he planned something with like no extra time whatsoever. And then a really nice guy came over and talked to me and said he'd at least try to figure out what we could do about me being a delegate for this other precinct. But that actually never happened.
Yeah, and the two things there are, one, you in order to run for the next level, you did not actually have to have won in the previous level. So you could run to be a delegate to state without having won.
Yeah, so why was this such a big deal then?
Because she wouldn't get to vote.
My issue wasn't that I wouldn't be able to run. My issue was that like I was given the idea that I would be able to vote and that I would get a choice in this. And then simply because he chose not to disclose this information to us until after he made sure literally every other open space in the room was filled, that's why I didn't get to vote.
And then it was
purely just him not being competent in that situation.
And then, by the way, one of the delegates from our table did decide that they suddenly had to go, which let Amy move up and be a delegate anyway.
What do you mean the guy decided that he needed to just go?
Well,
this was like an hour later, but when we got there around 12. When we walked through the doors, the fire alarm went off, so we waited an hour until the caucus was actually supposed to start before anybody could get back into the building to sit down, and then we ended up another 45 minutes behind. So this was like, we ended up like staying there until all the votes had been counted, which was at 8, I think.
Yeah, around there. So by the way, there was the guy, like, he made some excuses about his kids and his wife and having to go home, but he'd also
what a freaking loser. I mean,
well, really. No. What I'm saying is he made those excuses, but he had also intimated that he was actually leaving to give Amy a chance to be able to be the one who voted.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. He was being very, very sweet.
So anyway, so all this happened, and then you put your name in to be to run for the next level, which meant you filled out a form, and they gave you some poster board, and you made a big poster along with the other woman who you were talking about before, who made another sign and followed you around, and then soon around here is when I left, but you had gone around, you were actually campaigning, right?
Yeah, a woman came up to us at one point and like handed us this nicely printed page, and she wanted to be a delegate for the next level. And it
By the way, she won. She was on the Clinton side and she won.
Oh, awesome! Good for her. But yeah, she like walked up to us and actually gave us this printed sheet. So, you know, the other people at the table were like, you should go around and say hi. So I did. And I went to like just under half the tables there, and they just said hi. And some of them remembered me and actually voted for me, which was nice. And then I think we got up to walk around and talk more. And at that moment I looked up and I saw that a bunch of people had started lining up, like holding their posters above their heads. And then I realized that that's when we were going to give our little speeches. Mm-hmm. So we get in line. I was the third to last person in line. And because there were so many people, the guy just like didn't even give us a minute. I don't even think it was 30 seconds. And by the end of it, he was getting so tired. So like he'd walk up, hold the microphone.
How many hours into this process are we talking about here? Total?
Oh, so long. This is like...
This is like over 8 hours?
Three or...
By the time you were giving your speeches, we'd probably already been there 5 hours.
5 hours. Okay.
Yeah, okay. 5 hours.
Yeah, because we got there at noon. The event officially started at 1, and this was... The speech giving and all this kind of stuff, by the time we broke up into the Clinton and Sanders groups, was probably around 5 o'clock.
So you're 5 hours into this. So you're 5 hours into this. Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. And the dude had to like hold the microphone for everybody speaking. And I'd like to just make a comment. My poster board was the best there. And that's not me trying to be full of myself. This is just like a lot of the poster boards were just like name, number, and then one dude drew two trees.
Was there some kind of like point scale on which we could like move you up because of the poster board being better? No,
I wish.
Okay. Right. Well, it's just a thought. Okay,
but like one dude had drawn like two little trees, and then people would just like write "feel the burn" really big, and then there were two other women next to me. It was a mother daughter delegate team. They made sure to yell that any chance they got, and they actually had like information on their poster boards, but that was it. Everybody else was just name, number, and then some like quick quirky comment about Bernie.
And by the way, I just want to mention, Amy mentioned there were 83 people running for delegate. Each of them got to make speeches between 20 and 30 seconds long and have one poster. And then everybody here at this thing, and there were probably several hundred people there, had to vote for their favorite.
I think they said like 600.
And that was probably before we split up. But 600? But in any case, so imagine this, and anybody who's been to these kinds of caucus things has seen this, but you listen to 83 30-second speeches, and then you're given a ballot and asked to choose your favorite 19.
This is insane.
Who are your favorite 19 people out of these 83 that just talked to you?
That's really insane. Okay.
Yeah, part of me was like worried. Now that I think about it, I should have been happy that I was at the end, because people would have remembered me a lot
of course
better than the people in the middle. But what? I was watching everybody, and you know, they were all writing down names while people were talking.
So well, you have to. I mean, I wasn't going to
get on
it.
Any of them. Yeah, because like, you know, like there were 83 people, so I'm thinking they've probably filled it all in before they even got to me.
When I did this, as I was listening, if anybody made any impression whatsoever on me, I would write down their name, number, and like two or three words to remind me of who the hell they were. And then on the Clinton side, we only had 30 people to choose from, but you had to pick your favorite six, so it was easier. But even there, you know, I ended up writing down little notes about maybe 10 to 15 people. And so I had to, from my little one little word notes, pick my favorite six or my favorite five after you subtract myself, because I did vote for myself, which Amy did not remember to do.
Yeah, I didn't vote for myself. But I still made it, so it doesn't matter. It means I did even better, because I moved forward based on the opinions of others.
Yeah, but come on, you gotta remember to vote for your fucking self.
Hey, I still made it forward.
I know you made it, but just,
I know, but
rule of thumb is to always remember to vote for yourself.
Yeah,
rule number one.
I tweeted this out when it happened, but just to put it on here too, she ended up being, the way that they do this is they have the Democratic Party at this level mandates an even number of males and females. So they have the top ranked females and the top ranked males, and then they alternate between them until they fill the delegate spot.
Did they get into a fight afterwards?
No.
No.
Okay. No.
But Amy.
No, these are Bernie followers. They were, half of them were probably too stoned to fight.
Anyway. Amy ended up being the fifth highest tied for the fifth highest vote getter on the female side.
Yay!
With 108 votes from the crowd.
Yay! Go, Amy!
Yeah.
Could have had one more vote. Yay!
Yeah. Then it would have broken the tie. She would have been fifth outright instead of tied for fifth.
But I'm not that upset about it.
And then once you added the alternating, that made her the 12th Bernie Sanders delegate out of 19 slots they had to go to the next level.
Yeah. And what actually happened for like voting, I didn't take my paper with me because I didn't know what was happening until half the people had lined up. So I just booked it over. And so it got to a point, people would just kind of walk up and walk by and say, like, this is my number, this is my name, I'll vote for you if you vote for me. And that's how it went for a lot of people. So I just ended up, like, writing names and numbers on the back of the poster that I was holding, because I had nowhere else to do it. And, like, some of it was written in pencil and some of it in highlighter and, like, a dying pen. So really whatever I could write on with whatever I could write.
And meanwhile, at the end, keep in mind what Amy mentioned at the beginning. It was supposed to be like a fill in the bubble for the candidate you like kind of thing, but they only had 60 slots and 83 people. So as if you're in the full first 60, fill out the little bubble, otherwise write their number. And then you were supposed to also, so they could verify that you got it right, on the other side of the paper, write the name and number so that they could match it all up. And if you did any of this wrong, like, you didn't actually put down 19 people.
Did you get punished?
Well, the ballot got thrown out and didn't count. So, like,
well, that's even worse.
If you only put down 18 names, you're out.
Figured they'd take you out the back of the room and like hit you with a freaking like paddle or something.
No, that's the Republicans.
Oh, okay, that's the Republican process. Okay, all right, never mind. All right.
But yeah, by the end, I like ran over to my table. I got my ballot sheet and I started writing names, and people saw me writing down stuff. And so they'd all come over and just put their poster in front of me and say, write it down. There you go. But they'd watch me write it down, like make sure I was writing down their information. One guy came over and he had given me his business card earlier, but I forgot to write his name down. I hadn't like filled in the thing yet for him. So he came over and I was like, oh, I already have you. And he said, no, you don't. I'm not there. So I wrote his name down and I filled it in, and then he left. But that kept happening. And it got to a point where I had 22 names written down, because I had so many that were over six. I had a couple that were over 60 at least. So when I was counting the bubbles, I wasn't taking into consideration the other ones that were just on the list. So I ended up like scribbling out some of them, and then I didn't have everybody's name. So I didn't even fill in the 19 slots I was supposed to. So I was really worried that my ballot wouldn't go through, but apparently it did.
Because she kept hovering over the counting tables, because they were actually taking the ballots that didn't meet the rules and putting them to decide. Because if the person was still there, they could go grab the person and have them correct it.
Ah, okay.
Because these are not anonymous. Yeah. These are all signed as well. So, like, they would call out and say, you know, Bob Smith's ballot is unclear. Is Bob Smith still here? You can come fix it.
Right.
Yeah, and then they also had some where that would be in, like, this questionable pile where someone else would look over it to see if it actually made sense. So, like, there were some since I was checking, first, since I was checking to find these questionable ballots, I ended up going to this one table multiple times, to the point where they thought I was volunteering with everybody else to, like, help count ballots. So I was given this, like, accidental authority. So this one woman was like, oh, yeah, I don't know what's going on with this, and showed it to me. And I actually ended up helping her figure it out. But essentially what happened was she counted all the bubbles and didn't count any of the random numbers that were written on the page. But it was very weird. It was all a strange process.
And so in the end, this means because you won this, well, first of all, because you and I both were delegates or alternates to last round, there's one more thing that we can go to. On May 1st is the county convention that both of us got eligible for because of the last round. But then because you won this round, that makes you eligible to go to both the legislative district caucus and the state convention over the next month and a half or so. I've asked if I can sort of go along as a guest to take notes, but and watch what's going on. And Amy said yes, so I will. That should be fun. And those are where the actual delegates to the actual delegates to national get picked at those last two events. As I was talking to Yvonne before Amy joined us, even for those levels, you don't have to have won in order to run for the national delegate. You have to have won what Amy won in order to vote for who gets to be the national delegate, but you don't have to have won in order to run.
But you still deserve your right to vote for the delegates to move on.
Yeah. So I could still fill out a form and run to be a delegate, but given my poor performance last time, I don't think I'm going to do that. But
yeah, I would say not.
But meanwhile, Amy can give this passionate speech about all the reasons she's like the perfect Bernie Sanders demographic. And
I am there. I kept thinking, like, later on, I was like, wow, I really fit so many of these demographics.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think if Amy decides to run, she's got a shot, although it gets very competitive at this next level.
Yeah,
no, we're rooting for you to go to the DNC. I mean, I am.
Yeah. At least
that would be great.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, we'd have our little reporter there if it happens.
Yes.
Although it probably won't be as fun as the Republican one, but it's going to be entertaining. You're still going to have
be entertaining.
Yeah, no fights, no rampant racism everywhere.
Nobody's spitting on you, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There will, yeah, there probably won't be
if
riots.
If only we were all Republicans,
know.
That would make life much more exciting.
God, Jesus Christ. Yeah. God, heaven forbid.
Anyway, any final thoughts on this, Amy? We'll obviously have you back on once you've been to some of those other events. But any last thoughts before we end up this segment and Yvonne and I move on to the rest of our show?
Yeah, a lot of Bernie Sanders followers are very, very passionate, and they are total conspiracy nuts. That's my last. That's the last comment I'd like to add. Thank you for having me on the show.
Because of course it's all a big, yeah, everything's unfair, and there's no possible way Hillary could be winning legitimately, right?
Exactly. You know, she's sending thousands of people the wrong mail, and she's hiring delegates before the first caucus. So they can go become a delegate and then switch sides at the next caucus.
What?
You know?
Fuck. Okay.
Yeah. That is one of the things that one of the Bernie followers told me, is that he is pretty sure that the reason there were delegates switching at this caucus, which, by the way, you only had to be voted to from the first caucus. So it's not that extreme that Hillary somehow convinced them to move.
I just want to mention this because since you're bringing up the switchers, out of this room of like 600 some people, there were four people who changed their minds and had been Sanders at the last level and wanted to be Clinton at this level. And so the process for that is they had to declare that on a form, and that form had to be sent up to the table at the front where they read off the names of the switchers.
And somehow these four people who, heaven forbid, changed their mind were paid off by the Clinton campaign.
Well, and when each one of the names was read off, there was booing and people trying to go like, where are they, and point them out and stuff. It's like, really? Come on.
Oh, God.
Some Jesus. Woman actually went up and like screamed at the man running it because she was so upset that they even had a part of the caucus that was made just for people who were
She was really upset that anybody was allowed to change their mind.
It's a good thing that I wasn't there, because I would have grabbed her and said, "Shut the fuck up, bitch, and sit the fuck back down."
Yeah. That's so nice of you.
Out of over 600.
Which
people,
by the way,
she like went up and screamed.
Which, by the way, if 4 out of 600. This was not the vote for who would go to the next level, but this was the vote that determined how many people would go to the next level for each candidate.
No, I mean,
I just want to point out, they were determining how to divide up 25 delegates. Four people changing their minds did not make a difference. It was still going to be 19 to Bernie, 6 to Clinton. It was going to be that no matter what these four people did, because there weren't enough people changing their minds to make a damn difference. But people were still really upset.
Yeah, one of the things that the dude running it said, he like had to stop and say, first, this is a part of every caucus. It's not like I've decided that I hate everybody. Like, he had to make it clear that this wasn't his decision, that this is a part of literally every single caucus that has ever existed here. And then another woman had to go up and like explain to everybody that it was okay, and that four people moving didn't change the amount of delegates that went to each candidate. And it was just like, it was kind of like trying to soothe a 5-year-old who just saw another 5-year-old like eat two cookies when they only got one. And you're like, no, it's okay. You still get another cookie. Don't worry.
Anyway, caucuses are fun.
Especially when somebody pulls the fire alarm.
No, my whole thing is that, you know, look, this is a democratic process. I mean, you know, we're supposed to respect what other people want. I mean, you know, look, if people change their mind, one way or another. I mean, reacted to it by screaming. When one of the problems that we have, you know, that I look, one of the reasons why I don't like, for example, a candidate like as Donald Trump is because of, you know, these kinds of like spitting and like insults and this kind of stuff. And what I get upset is that guys, at people at the extremes tend to react like this to everything, okay? Whether it's the left or the right, okay? And this is one of the reasons why I don't like sitting out there. And, you know, I said that I'm a kind of person that would take somebody that would react like that and tell them to sit down and shut the fuck up. Not because I don't want people to change their mind, because I hate having people intimidate other people that want to change their mind. Okay, people have the right to change their mind. Okay, that is their right. It's a democracy. Let them change their mind. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Anyway, thank you very much for joining us for this segment, Amy. We've been talking for half an hour, so we should probably go ahead and take a break, and you can go off and do your thing, and Yvonne and I will talk a little bit more about the election and maybe a few other things, but it's getting late Yvonne's time, so I'm not sure how much longer we'll go on. So,
we'll try.
Although I was joking with Yvonne before we started the show that we would try to make him fall asleep again.
Yeah, we've had that happen before, but I'm trying to not fall into that trap today.
Okay, we're going to take a break. Thanks again, Amy, and we look forward to having you on again at the next time. We'll be back after this.
Facebook, Facebook, Facebook!
Hey, do you want to help support Curmudgeon's Corner? Well, right now, the best way is through Facebook. If you haven't already liked us on Facebook and you actually, well, like us, then go search for Curmudgeon's Corner on Facebook and like our page. It will help you see when we announce new episodes and it'll help us reach more new people too. If you like a particular episode, like our episode announcement post too, or share it with your friends. All of this helps spread the word about our podcast to more people who might like it as well. And of course, we love having a conversation with all of you listeners, so please use Facebook to leave comments on the shows, give us suggestions, or anything else like that. It's always great to hear from you. So, if you want to help the show, use Facebook. Or forget all of that and just send us money.
Okay, we are back. So hope you guys enjoyed that. I know it went on a long while, but these caucus things are kind of interesting.
It is very interesting. Okay, I must admit. I mean, I haven't, like, before, we haven't delved that in detail into the process. And I think we talk about the results of the caucuses, and we talk about how they differ from primaries and so forth. But it's a very interesting to understand that dynamic.
Yeah, I think the last time we really talked about it, I mean, when I was involved in it in 2008 and 2012, I did, you know, talk about it for a bit in each one of those. But every 4 years, it's good to do this a little bit. And this time we'll get some insight from the next level up, too. But
Yes. This will be great.
But caucuses are crazy. I mean, as interesting as they are to participate, it is kind of crazy that's the way things are done in so many states. I mean, it really, if you want to get a good view of what the public of a state says, a good old-fashioned vote is a much better way to do it. Because, I mean, you heard that we were there 8 hours.
That's what I thought. 8 hours was the total.
The total was 8 hours. We got there at noon and came home a little after 8 p.m. And
okay.
And, you know, that's a crazy amount of time commitment. Now, admittedly, the first level wasn't quite that long, but the first level was still pretty long. It was like 5 hours.
That's still pretty long. That's
a
commitment.
And, you know, if you got kids, you got a job, you got a thing, you know, it's crazy. It's just nuts.
Kids, job, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, I have no idea. Anyway, so...
Well, those people that have to worry about that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they shouldn't be voting anyway. I mean,
bastards. Anyway.
Anyway, we've had some other election stuff going on. So just to start out, we had New York.
Okay, so we have New York. I'm going to talk about the Democrats shortly first.
Okay.
I mean, how many months has it been that I've just said that this thing is over? Okay, all right. Why are we talking about this? Has it been for like 2 months?
I put this in my post about it. If you are looking at things reasonably, the absolute latest time when it was absolutely positively clear that Clinton had this wrapped up minus a miracle was around March 6th. And you could argue that it was actually earlier than that. But the absolute latest, like by the time we got to March 6th, that was the point where Sanders would need 60% of the vote in all 60% of the all of the remaining delegates in order to catch up. And 60 is huge after, in a race where things have tended to be closer than that. It's just like, I get how excited the Bernie guys are and how much they want to win. Amy's back here raising her thumb at this point. But, what I put in the post that I gave, and this is New York goes Clinton exactly as expected, which I posted on abelsmay.com and election graphs on Wednesday, April 20th. But what I said is, look, the breathless talk of momentum and Sanders' talk to victory has been due to a few things. One, the Sanders camp desperately trying to spin whatever narrative they can possibly come up with. Two, the public not understanding how the process works, mainly, yes, superdelegates count. Three, the public not understanding the math, which is that for a while now, even if Sanders had massive wins in every remaining state, it's still not enough to catch up.
Right.
And then finally, it's the media who are hopelessly biased.
Trying to get a story.
Yeah, because it's not interesting to say, oh yeah, and one more step towards Hillary's inevitable win, compared to Sanders could still pull it out. Here you go. It's still a race.
Wait. So that's not an interesting story. Just to say, forget it. It's all over.
Yeah.
So as I've tried to do for 2 months.
Yeah. No. Every time, and this happens especially on the Bernie side. I mean, to some degree, some of this has happened on the Republican side too. But especially on the Bernie side of things, the press has been jumping through hoops to try to point out these increasingly outrageous scenarios where Sanders could still catch up and win. People talk about the media being biased against Sanders. If anything, they've been biased for the guy.
I agree, because this thing was over 2 months ago. I was mentioning to Sam that I get this email for a petition from MoveOn.org to endorse that the news organizations should publish the results of the delegate count without the superdelegates. And I am like, are you joking? I mean, really?
Which, by the way, most of the news organizations have been.
They've published both.
They publish with and without, and they've been, if you look at the official delegate tallies, the New York Times actually backed out the superdelegates, and their main tally doesn't include them, and shows the majority of pledged delegates as the target, instead of the...
It's misleading!
Exactly.
Really? So you want to just lie to yourself that it's closer than it really is? Why? It's not real.
Right. And people made all the arguments about, well, if Sanders wins the pledged delegate count, then of course all the superdelegates will flip. And some might, some might not. And this is the argument I've made on electiongraphs.com from the very beginning. Okay, they might switch. Well, let's track that. Let's see if they do. And if they do, then we'll report that they've changed their mind. But until the moment they change their mind, that's a Clinton delegate.
Yeah.
You have to keep in mind the fact that they can change their mind. But at the same time, you have to realize that they probably won't.
They won't.
Now, I fully admit, in the scenario that even today, you know, Clinton gets caught doing something that even her biggest supporters decide is inexcusable, and she starts getting 0% at every election from this point forward. Okay, in that point, maybe the superdelegates flip. But right. You have to concoct a really extreme scenario to get you there, not just, you know, Bernie's catching up a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, so anyway, I think I understand the enthusiasm of the Sanders people, but at the same time, it doesn't help to deny reality. You have to look at the real situation and go by that. And, you know, Sanders himself, you know, and a number of people have noted, look, the real thing here that they have succeeded in is they've made Clinton go on the record with a number of things that are further to the left than she would have otherwise.
Oh, no, there's no disagreement about that.
You know,
I don't argue that at all.
And he will probably get some influence on the platform.
I agree.
But
we're talking about math here, okay? Right. It's just math, okay?
You know, and I see so many of these reporters that say, you know, they'll say things like Sanders, you know, before New York, obviously, they'll say things like Sanders has all the momentum. He's got the momentum going for him.
Yeah, I'm like, what momentum?
And then they'll say something, but he does have a problem with the math.
Really?
As if the math was like this little thing that could be brushed aside. No. And, you know, the other point that's brought up, like, you know, if you look at national polls, Sanders is pretty much caught up with Clinton at this point. They're neck and neck at this point. But it doesn't fucking matter because that's not how we decide.
That's not how we fucking, like, decide a prime the candidate. Who cares?
Right, because all of these states have already voted. And even if they change their mind now, it's too late to change their mind.
It doesn't matter.
You know, it's not like Iowa's going to vote again.
Right.
You know, now there are arguments you could make that all this primary and caucus stuff is bullshit and we should just have a national primary on a single day and then go from there. But that's not how it works. Like, yeah. Like it would be very rational to have a national primary and then a runoff. That would make perfect sense. That would be, you know, it would probably get you, but it's not the system we have. Yeah. So anyway, it's just a matter of Clinton wrapping it up. But Sanders, his team has said that they're still going to fight to the very last thing, even if it's clear that he's lost, you know. And so it's like their latest thing is now, even if they get past California in June and, you know, Clinton has a majority of the pledged delegates, but not enough without superdelegates to get over 2383, then the Sanders camp is going to spend the rest of June and the first part of July trying to convince superdelegates to change their mind. Because it is very likely that we'll be at that point where, you know, Clinton doesn't get over 2383 without some number of superdelegates. And so, you know, and my response to that was good luck with that. You know, Anyway, the Democrats, there you go. And you know, we're just going to continue to see slowly but surely Clinton getting what she needs to get. I mean, it's again, absent the Clinton catastrophe, which could happen at any moment. But, you know, whatever it's not a matter of Bernie doing something. It would be a matter of Clinton self-destructing.
Right.
You know, so. Anyway, enough about the Democrats. I don't think there's much else to say on the Democrats.
Right.
Republicans.
Republicans. So
Republicans also, by the way, and were pretty much exactly as expected in New York. My post there was Republicans, New York goes Trump, exactly as expected, published on April 20th. You know, if anything, he did a little bit better than people expected it to. Not much. I mean, people seemed to expect he'd be roughly, there were 95 delegates up for grabs in New York, and people tended to expect that he would get somewhere in the 80s. He got 90. So, okay. So he did a few delegates better than people expected, maybe, but right in the ballpark. I mean, people expected him to crush in New York, and he did. Also in my post, I point out that this is in terms of where he is and what percentage of the remaining delegates he needs to win. This has undone most of the damage caused by Cruz's winning streak before this, but not all of it, but most of it. And frankly, if you look at where he's going to be in the Tuesday states, when we have Pennsylvania, Maryland, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Delaware, he'll probably make up the rest of that difference and probably even have a majority of the delegates so far when we're done with those states. But the one thing that I want to point out with all of this is that all of these things, including both Cruz's victories and Trump's victory in New York, were all, quote-unquote, pretty much as expected. So when people, you know, Cruz won all these states, and then people are like, ah, Trump's done, and then now Trump wins this, and now they're like, oh, you know, as if something major has changed.
Right, nothing has changed. These nothing all has expected. Changed. The way that these have all rolled out is expected. Maybe Trump's margin was bigger, but it was expected he was going to win New York.
Maybe in Cruz's win of states, he won by a little bit more than people expected.
Exactly.
People weren't expecting a complete Trump shutout, but they were still expecting Cruz to win by significant margins. And same thing here in the opposite direction. And so one of the things you got to be careful about.
I'm making a smoothie right now.
Okay, have fun making your smoothie. But one of the things you got to watch out for is all of this talk is based on, you know, and this applied to the Clinton-Sanders stuff, too, when Sanders had a run of states. But Cruz had a run of states, and so everybody's like, oh, Cruz is winning. It's everything's changed. Is Trump falling apart? Blah, 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 blah. And then now Trump wins this, and they're like, oh, Trump's got his mojo back, blah, blah, blah. No, nothing changed. It just you went through a series of states that were favorable to Cruz, and now you have a series of states that are favorable to Trump. These are all going just about as expected.
Yep.
And so if we see a shocker, we, you know, maybe that changes things. But right now, you know, they're all playing out pretty much as, you know, is the people who've modeled these states based on demographics comparing to the vote results so far. These have all come right along where people expected them to be for the most part, even though people have complained about the polls in a couple little states where they were a couple percentage off and it made a difference in the polls have been pretty close all the way around too. Although we will repeat our complaint of the last few weeks that there are not enough polls anymore. Now, there were enough of New York. There was like a glut of New York polls. There were plenty of New York. But like if you start looking at next week, there's very few again. And like one state that apparently is potentially very critical to the question of does Trump get over his magic number of 1237 or not? Indiana is potentially critical to that equation. And there have been no polls in Indiana.
Oh, so when you're done, yep. Would you help me?
Maybe.
Actually, play with me.
Maybe. My son keeps interrupting again. Anyway, that remains the question is, does Trump get to 1237 or not? And the bottom line is, if anybody at this point tells you that either a brokered convention is certain or a Trump win is certain, they're full of shit. We're still right on the borderline where either one of those two things could happen. And it all depends on the details. Trump does a little bit better. He wins outright. He does a little bit worse. We have a multi-ballot convention. And we're the way it's playing out, if you look at the remaining states and if you look at the simulations that like people like 538 and the Upshot at the New York Times and Sam Wang, if you look at all of their simulations they've done, we may very well be still straddling that borderline when we get to the end of June, and it may be up to these uncommitted delegates to decide one way or another on this question.
Yep. Yeah, so we're still in an exciting little like a span of like contests and things happening in the Republican Party at this point.
Yeah, it's not like the Democrats. It's not like the Democrats where this is done. The Republicans, it's still like, what's going to happen? Who the fuck knows? And that's before you even get into the chaos that could happen at the convention. Even if Trump gets his 1237, there's shenanigans that could be played to take it away from him. And if he's just barely under, there's shenanigans he could do to try to convince people to give it to him anyway on the first ballot. And if you do get to a second ballot or a third ballot or a fourth ballot, we're just in total craziness.
Dad, this movie's done.
Okay. He was giving me updates every 10 seconds about the progress of the smoothie. Anyway, so yeah. It's still very exciting on that side. You know, I mentioned real quick, you know, convention stuff. And one of the, there are a couple interesting things that have come up in the last week that I hadn't mentioned specifically on a show. One is the Rule 40 that people have been talking about in terms of, you know, that's the one that says you have to have won a majority in 8 states to be nominated. Well, it turns out that the mechanism for that is that you have to get a written statement from a majority of the delegates in those 8 states. But the binding that applies to the vote on the first ballot does not apply, does not bind them in terms of signing this document for the purposes of Rule 40. Yeah. So it's possible. Alex is shoving a spoon with a smoothie into my mouth.
Yeah.
And you've got crazy noises going on your side. But anyway, it's possible that even though Trump has won his 8 states, that his delegates wouldn't sign the document saying that he'd won those 8 states so that he couldn't be nominated, even if he was above 1237.
God.
Now, along those lines, though, too, Rule 40 was in place in 2012 specifically to stop the Ron Paul people from getting votes, but the state delegations voted for him anyway. They basically, he wasn't put into nomination, but that didn't stop people from voting for him in the roll call. So it's possible that you could have a situation where they didn't nominate Trump because of shenanigans, but they did vote for him in the roll call, and he won without being nominated first. There's all,
God, what a crazy scenario.
There's all kinds of craziness that could happen. And of course, all of these rules can be changed as well. We've talked about some of this craziness before, but it's the bottom line is it's going to be close enough, whether Trump's a little bit below 1237 or a little bit above 1237 or exactly.
He's just this razor edge like right now.
Yeah. There's going to be craziness no matter what happens in that. Like, I don't believe for a second that if Trump has 1238 votes and so therefore has a majority, that the rest of the Republicans are just going to roll over and say, oh, well, then we have a standard nominating convention where, you know, Trump gets to speak, Trump controls the convention, and it's all over. You're still going to have people fighting tooth and nail, you know, even if he's over that number, and trying to play dirty pool, I think. Who knows? But they could play the other tack of just saying, well, fuck this, we're out of here.
Yeah, we're screwed.
And not even bothering, because you already have like a number of prominent Republicans saying they're not even going to the convention. The latest one this week was McCain. McCain has been to every Republican convention in over 30 years. He just said he's going to be busy that week.
I love that.
I forget exactly what he has to do, but he's not going to be there.
It's going to be during that week.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Wow. All right. Well,
and I think with that, yeah, we should go ahead and wrap it up. We were going to have a lightning round. We're going to talk about bathroom laws and Matthew Keys and Germany and blah blah blah.
Next week, when I got, I'm not on a business trip, and I'm like
Harriet Tubman on the 20. Anyway, yeah, we'll save all that for another time. And we will, by the time we talk again, we will have Pennsylvania, Maryland, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Delaware to talk about.
More numbers.
But by the way, the expectation here is basically that, you know, Clinton continues to win and Trump continues to win.
Maybe they'll pull out the fucking Bernie supporters. Will pull out some more, you know, newfangled math in order to try to figure out to fucking make the numbers.
Like, I think of these like Bernie probably has the best shot in Pennsylvania, but it doesn't matter. He can win.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. He could win all of them. It still doesn't matter. It's not enough.
Fucking matter.
But from what I understand, Trump's nicely ahead in all of these. But Pennsylvania is weird because it's going to elect 54 delegates by name that don't have a presidential preference on the ballot. So you know, we were just talking about pick your favorite 19 in this caucus. Pennsylvania on the actual ballot is going to have hundreds of names on there. Well, I guess it's actually by district, so it's less, but you're going to have just...
Well, like, I understand it's a big beauty contest for the most part.
There's one section, there's 17 delegates that are actually determined by you voting for your favorite candidate. The rest are, you just get a ballot with a bunch of names that chances are you've never even heard of any of them. And you have to pick, you know, your favorite few out of the list, and those become your delegates, and there's no indication on the ballot whatsoever of who they actually support. And we find out later, maybe at the convention, maybe as late at the convention, we find out who these people support. But Cruz is saying he thinks he's got a bunch of those delegates because of, you know, so we'll see.
All right.
Nope, anyway, fun deal. Stuff. We will talk next week. Thanks everybody for joining us for yet another Curmudgeon's Corner as usual. Go to our Facebook page, Curmudgeon's Corner on Facebook. Like us if you haven't already. Comment on the show if you haven't already, or even if you have, do it again. And tell your friends about the show. We hope you enjoy it, and, you know, have a good week, everybody. We'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.